You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hi, welcome to the Bechdel cast.
Hi.
Wow. San Francisco, how are you? It's a light excitement.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. My name's Caitlin Durante. Oh, geez.
My name's Jeremy Loftus. Thank you.
Woo!
And yeah, this is our second year at SF Sketchfest. We're very happy to be here.
Indeed. Yeah.
Do you have any San Francisco thoughts? I was like, themed thoughts for the evening.
Well, we spent a lot of time figuring out what movie to do. Mm-hmm. We're like, geez, what could we do?
Well, but in all seriousness, last year we were like not thinking about location. So we did like a movie that took place in, we did The Breakfast Club last year, which takes place in Chicago. That's a good question. Was anyone here at our show last year? Yes. The rest of you are fucking fake. That was a test and you failed. But yeah, so this year we chose a movie that at least partially takes place in
sort
this area.
Sort of nearby, yeah.
I'm very curious because I think that it's possible that some people in the audience outweigh us in knowledge for the context of this movie. Does anyone here work in tech or has worked in tech or been traumatized, had your life traumatized by the tech industry? Just cheer. Okay, so everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. More people than have listened to the show. Okay, I'm very excited to hear your insights. I love a good tech dystopia story.
Yes. There are not enough of them.
I know. I'm not local to them. I want to know, you know?
So is anyone here new to the show? Has anyone not listened to the show before?
Don't be shy.
Anyone?
Wow.
Oh, we've got
someone
a couple.
In the second row. We're going to come into the audience like cats. You know.
McCafferty.
Ineffable. Oh, I wish we were talking about cats.
What an easier discussion to have.
Okay, great. Well, this is a feminist movie podcast, mm-hmm. where we use the Bechdel test, sometimes called the Bechdel-Wallace test, to start a discussion about how women are portrayed in famous movies.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin, what's the Bechdel test?
I'd love to tell you.
Thank you.
It is sometimes called the Bechdel-Wallace test.
I said that.
Oh, you did? Shit.
Yes. Thank you for listening to me. Jesus.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
It's just,
that wouldn't pass. I just said Jesus. It doesn't pass.
Oh, no. But what if Jesus is a woman?
It's an Ariana Grande B-side. Also, Jesus is a woman.
Anyway, the Bechdel test, if you're not familiar, requires that two female-identifying characters in a movie talk to each other about something other than a man. And by our standards, it just has to be a two-line exchange of dialogue.
Yes. Do movies pass it?
Not often.
Not a Baron Sorkin
I have an example of something that I hope passes.
Go off.
Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Caitlin.
Let the hacking begin.
Oh, that still gets a full body response from me. Uh-huh. And I don't even, like, I feel nothing for Mark Zuckerberg or Jesse Eisenberg. But when he says, let the hacking begin, and he flexes
his little fingers.
He's like, and you're like, ew, but like, it's like, what is going on? Why do I feel that way? He's getting ready to, like, put sexist things on the internet. And I'm still like, oh. Bad. We're all flawed. We're all growing. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're doing The Social Network, by the way.
We're doing The Social Network.
And clap if you have seen this movie. Okay. And has anybody not seen this movie? First
nice.
Row head. Nice. I love, there's so much boldness going on in San Francisco. Well, we're going to ruin it for you. And yeah, is there anything else we gotta cover?
I think that's all the orders of business that we
all
need
right.
to attend to.
Well,
so
business is over.
Yes. And now let the fun begin. We have a guest.
We have a guest. A returning guest.
A returning guest.
A man.
A man.
Let's get this out of the way. The person about to come on stage is a man.
He is a man.
And for that, we're like, we know. We're aware.
But he's one of the few men that we
continue
to allow to come back.
Yeah.
Because he's a good. He's one of the goods.
It's a rare. I think it's on a list of three or four.
Yeah. But he's a writer. He's a comedian. You know him from past episodes of ours, including Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and Paddington. It's Demi Adejuyibe.
Hi.
Hi, Demi.
Hi. Thank you for apologizing for me in advance of me coming out, because I was going to be like, all right,
well,
I'm sorry.
Women be apologizing all the time, so.
You can say it.
Yeah. Demi, can you tell the audience what your shirt says? Because the way, when you're wearing your sweater, the shirt is so confusing.
Okay, I'm
going to
take, My shirt says Josie and the Pussycats is the best movie ever, which is just a truth. Unfortunately, I didn't realize until leaving this morning that when I wear this coat, it just looks like it says, and the pussy is best movie. And of all the podcasts to be doing today, I don't want that to be what I come on stage with. As one of the three or four good men, I can't tarnish my reputation that quickly.
Yeah, that reflects poorly on us as well.
Yeah.
Like, they thought one of the only good men wore a shirt that said, and the pussy.
I mean, that sounds like a feminist movie.
I think that's like Uncanny Valley feminism. That's like what a starting male feminist would say. Like, and the pussy is the best movie when you think about it. The only movie I watch is the pussy.
Ironically, doesn't pass the Bechdel test.
It doesn't.
No.
Anyway. So, The Social Network.
Demi, what is your history relationship with the movie?
This is one of my favorite movies ever. I think it is truly one of the finest films of the decade. This movie is very special to me because I did not like watch movies a lot growing up. My parents didn't like show me movies or anything. So it wasn't until like I went to college and was like, let's see what's out there that I like really like dug into film. And I remember seeing this movie specifically was when I because I remember everyone was like, oh, the Facebook movie, that's going to be dumb. And I remember I went to see it and I was like, this is going to be a riot. And I came out just being like, oh, shit, okay, woo. And I was like, oh, this is what cinema is? But yeah, I think it's a fantastic movie and I'm very excited to talk about it.
Jamie, what's your history relationship?
I also really love this movie. In spite of it all, I think this movie came out like the second I got to college, I'm pretty sure. And I remember that they were passing out a lot of merch because I went to college in Boston as well. So they were like, all right, we got to be giving out Social Network mouse pads to all the kids. That's what they want. So I still somewhere have my Social Network mouse pad that says, punk genius, traitor, billionaire, The Social Network. And it's just a like grainy high contrast picture of Jesse Eisenberg mm-hmm. that I really, but my secret anecdote about The Social Network that I didn't tell you before the show is that when I was a freshman in college, there were two big movies coming out that had to do with Boston, and they let students choose which preview screening they wanted to go to, and it was The Social Network and The Town.
The Town.
And I went to see The Town.
What?
I saw The Town for free at Fenway Park. It was very cool. John Hamm was there. He wore a hat.
Really?
Oh, he sure did. Yeah. No, and that is like, if you've seen The Town, you're like, oh boy, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. And then I saw The Social Network later, and it's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Caitlin, what's your history with this movie?
I also really like this movie. Ah! Although I feel differently about it than I used to feel, let me just give you a little bit of context for me.
Yes.
I was a freshman in college at the very moment that Facebook was taking off. So I went to Penn State University for my undergrad, boo. Because I can't wait to talk about my master's degree tonight. But I was at Penn State in fall of 2004 when they were like, we're adding in more colleges. I remember when it used to be thefacebook.com. I remember when it suddenly switched. I signed up for my account in October 2004. I was like in it. So when all the events of the movie are unfolding, I was like, oh, it's like I was there. And then when I lived in Boston, I lived a 2-minute walk from the Thirsty Scholar, which is the bar that the first scene of the movie takes place in. And then I would go there after that movie came out and they had changed all the menu items to like The Social Network burger. And it's like, okay. And then of course I went to, I don't like to bring this up, but I did go to Boston University and get a master's degree in screenwriting. And there's high, thank you so much. There's high BU visibility in this movie. Well,
right.
Not
although
high.
Although it's not favorable, but
not
it is
favorable,
hot.
Not favorable, because all BU girls are bitches. Yeah. And I didn't have to study because I went to BU. And that's what you learn about
so
BU.
So he was actually right. Toxic masculinity wins again. I've been to the Thirsty Scholar a couple times, and there was definitely a Mark Zuckerberg referencing martini on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't called the Zucktini, but what if it was?
Wait, is it called the Marktini?
It was called a Marktini would be way better.
Now I just want to think of all the drinks that could be named after
Mark, the most boring man to ever live. Sure.
Oh, why wasn't it the Zuckerberger?
The Social Network
Burger. Not The Social Network Burger. God, missed opportunity.
I think
could get David Finch fries.
Oh.
Okay, you guys do the podcast. I'm gonna pop it every few minutes with one.
I do feel like more are coming. I do think like the greatest trick this movie plays, of the many things that it does, is it does manage to make Mark Zuckerberg look like an interesting person who has emoted or felt a thing.
I was going to say, because when I saw your shirt backstage, I was reminded of my image of Mark Zuckerberg, and I was like, this movie makes him look very smart.
Right.
But yeah. Like everything we've seen of him since, I'm like, no, you're not as... You're not as much of a, like, quote-unquote genius as this movie wants you to be.
Right. He was not a punk nor a genius.
Nor a prophet.
Oh, it said prophet,
yeah.
Too. prophet of what? Like, they're of what? Like, causing wars that he causes? Like, what is he... Oh, okay, a lot of Zuck heads in the... Jesus Christ. This is a Facebook-sponsored event we're learning.
Mark Zuckerberg is here. No.
Mark Zuckerberg literally caused a genocide, but go off, audience.
Kind of impressive.
Anyways, my shirt, this is an actual AIM message that Mark Zuckerberg sent back in the day, and it says, you can be unethical and still be legal. That's the way I live my life, ha ha. So So he does have a personality. It's chaotic evil. Should we recap the movie?
Let's do it.
Real quick, I just want
to... Oh, please. Did you come up with some more?
Zucker beer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're right. It's not a...
The audience is verbally appraising.
All right. 30 minutes from now.
Yeah. Keep thinking about it. Okay. So the story of The Social Network.
Yes.
We meet Mark Zuckerberg. That's Jesse Eisenberg, of course. He's a student at Harvard studying computer stuff.
Do they say what is his? Could you? I feel like in 2004 you could major in computers.
Yeah. Right. Is it like?
They're like, eh.
Is he a programmer? Is he a software engineer?
Typing?
Is he? Does he write code? What?
Typing.
Typing.
Who knows?
He's majoring in emails. Yeah.
So he's doing that, and then the movie opens on a date that he is on with his girlfriend at the time, Erica Albright, played by Rooney Mara, and he is a condescending asshole to her, so she breaks up with him, and that night he takes his frustration to LiveJournal, and he's like...
Although, I mean, has anyone here ever taken their frustration to LiveJournal before, like... Those of us that were there for LiveJournal, that's where we were taking our frustration.
So give him some slack.
Right. What I'm saying is Mark Zuckerberg innocent.
Also, his LiveJournal is called Zuck on It.
Which is true.
That was the name of it?
All of the blog posts and the name of the blog are tragically factually accurate.
Oh, no.
Everything where he sounds like a dumb asshole is accurate. Everything where he sounds like a smug Aaron Sorkin character is a smug Aaron Sorkin line. And when you rewatch the movie, it's pretty easy to figure out which is which.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Mark Zuckerberg never said, "You have the minimum of my attention. You have the minimum amount." Like, that's a West Wing line. That's... Yeah. When he said Zuck on It, Mark Zuckerberg said that. Like.
Anyway, so he calls Erica Albright a bitch, and then he's like, but I need something to take my mind off her. So
and then he says,
so he said, like, with his fingers, let the hacking begin.
We're like, wow. And I want him to put his clammy hands near me.
Ew.
Ugh, gross. Mark Zuckerberg, I mean, he just looks like he needs to be toweled off, you know? He just looks like a light sheen is on him at all times.
Sure.
Gross.
So he hacks into several Harvard, like, dorm houses or however that works. I don't even know. And there's like...
They explain it.
What's that?
They explain it step by step in the film.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Recite it.
I mean, like, Harvard houses. Is that like a Harry Potter house or is that just like the name of a dorm building?
I think it's just like the dorm building.
Okay.
Right? Did anyone here go to Harvard?
At least one person does. We've been in...
Yeah,
there she is. That's our girl. Yeah, she has to go back to Harvard. I mean, feel free to bully her on the way out, whatever. Don't bully her.
So the Harvard houses have these like student databases that have like students' pictures on them. So he hacks into all of those and creates facemash.com where people can compare two side-by-side photos of women and decide who is hotter because he is a feminist.
Yes.
And...
Well, that's, yeah, visibility of women.
Right.
He's like, we need to give these women a platform.
Those two photos next to each other of the women that passes the Bechdel test.
Yes. Because we know what their names are, which is a breach of data.
So the list currently is me and Mark Zuckerberg.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the other two?
Oh, the Winklevosses.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Of course.
And then his friend Eduardo Saverin, played by Andrew Garfield, comes in and helps with the algorithm. So then they send facemash.com to a few people, and they send it to some people, and they send it to some people to the extent where it gets so popular in the course
viral.
Of...
Viral.
It goes viral.
Yeah.
In one night, and it crashes Harvard's network. Then we cut to a few years later because the movie cuts back and forth between hearings that Mark Zuckerberg is in because many people are suing him.
Yeah, I think that that's supposed to be taking place in, like, I think 2008 is when those hearings are happening.
Got it. We see him back at Harvard. We meet Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss.
Woohoo! We discussed this earlier today with some people who are in the audience, but obviously both Winklevoss twins should have been played by Alfred Molina.
Yes.
Very clear. He would have killed it.
Absolutely. Instead, they are played by Armie Hammer.
Well, Armie Hammer and some other guy who then they deleted his face from the movie and Control-C, Control-V'd Armie Hammer's face. That's a true fact. Do not forget whoever that guy was.
Josh Pence.
Mike Pence's nephew. No, I'm kidding.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, I know.
We also meet the Winklevoss' associate, Divya Narendra, played by Max
Minghella.
Minghella.
A.K.A. that guy from The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
Yeah.
Divya Narendra is Indian and Max is not. Whoopsies.
Eduardo Saverin
is Brazilian and Andrew Garfield is not.
A chameleon.
Whoops.
I couldn't
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's really the issue. Maybe if Andrew Garfield were less of a chameleon. He's British. I always forget that.
Yeah,
who cares?
It's true. So these guys hear about Zucky's little face mash thing,
as they call it in the movie.
And they want him to do the programming for something they came up with, Harvard Connection, which is an elitist dating website for Harvard students because, quote, women want to get with guys who go to Harvard.
Okay, so Megan, I have a question. She goes, is that actually true?
Wait, okay, we're gonna repeat that.
Okay.
So it was BU girls to bed,
Wellesley girls to wed,
Harvard girls to talk to.
That's not even clever or doesn't even rhyme. That was okay, can
Harvard girls for their heads.
Yeah.
The problem there is it just sounds like Harvard girls for head,
which
is not the same thing.
Well, maybe it was workshopped in the brilliant, what is their shitty comedy magazine? Sorry.
Oh, the Lampoon?
They wrote Board of the Rings. I'm like, oh, whoa. I'm bowled over by this comedic brilliance. Jeez.
Okay. So the Winklevosses are like, yeah, program Harvard Connection for us, please. And Zuckerberg agrees to help them, but their idea has inspired him / he stole it. Who knows what really happened?
Hard to say.
To create another website. And he pitches it as a business proposition to Eduardo. And you'll never guess what it's called.
Tell me.
TheFacebook.com.
Wow.
Eduardo fronts $1,000 in starter cash, and then they get to work on writing the software. Is that an expression?
Coding? They go on squarespace.com, and that's when the real work begins. which brings us to our advertiser. I'm kidding. Squarespace, we would love your money.
Yeah. Please sponsor us. So while this is happening, Eduardo has gotten punched by the Phoenix, this exclusive final club. And
to all of you not Ivy Leaguers out there, I also don't know what that means. It's like it's like a fancy frat club.
I think so.
For people
is that
who
what
will
the
cause war crimes one day.
Is that what the movie Skulls is about? The Skulls? Is it?
Okay.
Great. Glad we cleared that up. So he's gotten punched by the Phoenix, and Mark Zuckerberg is very jealous of this, and that plays a part through the rest of the movie. And then Zuckerberg is also, like, dodging all the Winklevoss's attempts to, like, talk to him.
He's dodging the Winkies, yeah. They're coming at him with their paddles, right? He's just dodging them. I wish they had swung a paddle.
There should have just been one scene where they see him across the quad and then it's a 10-minute chase scene and he's just like ducking under things.
That chase scene that they describe, I'm like, why didn't they film that?
I just want one scene of like him standing next to the Harvard statue, like pretending to be a statue, and it's like, wait a minute, and he turns back, it's like, ugh.
And then like an Army Hammer is like chasing.
Get the Benny Hill music in there.
Oh, that'd be so good.
A real dark version from Trent Reznor, of course.
Of course, of course. Then he's almost done with the Facebook.com and ready to launch. And then his friend Dustin Moskovitz, a.k.a. Timmy from Jurassic Park, is like, hey, there's this girl in one of your classes. Do you know if she's single? Do you know if she's interested in dating anyone? And then Mark Zuckerberg's like, oh, that's what Facebook is going to be like. And
do
then,
you know if it's complicated? Did anyone ever list their status as it's complicated on Facebook before? Because that is like the ballsiest thing anyone could do.
I did, and so did a lot. Here's the thing. When I did
you
it,
did?
It's because I was very single and wanted to seem so much more interesting than... It was like, well, it's complicated. You'll just have to ask me to find out. And it's like, everyone was like, we don't give a shit.
I came very close once in high school to setting my status to it's complicated, and you could set it to it's complicated with another user. You could do, like, people in my high school would be like, okay, so I'm technically single, but it's complicated with Joey. Like, you could give so much information about the status of your heart.
It's true.
I miss it. I mean, it's hard to figure out where people are at now.
Yeah, now we just got to tweet it all.
Yeah, now you just got to do horny tweets and see what happens. Disaster. Shout out to my boyfriend.
Who's here. Then the site goes live, and several Harvard students sign up for it right away. And then the Winklevosses find out about it, and they're like, he stole our idea. More and more people are signing up. Eduardo wants this site to start generating revenue. And then Zuckerberg's like, no, Facebook is cool.
All Mark Zuckerberg cares about is cool. But I do think it's funny that like Eduardo wants to be like, pop-up ads. Like, that would have been a bad idea.
And then they meet a couple women, Christy and Alice, who think Mark and Eduardo are so cool and they cannot wait to suck their dicks. And then
Harvard to head, right?
Right.
Yeah. As the saying goes.
As the saying should go. Then Mark runs into his ex-girlfriend Erica at a bar and he's like, hey. And she's like, fuck you. And then either like to retaliate or to impress her or something, he's like, we have to expand to Yale and Columbia and Stanford.
Every time a woman rejects him in this movie, Mark Zuckerberg's like, Facebook needs to be bigger. Like he just goes off the rails.
He bought Instagram because someone called him Mork, right?
Yeah.
Also, yeah. I'm like, the peak of that scene is when she says, good luck with your video game, which is best line I've
so
ever.
Good.
It's the coldness reverberates. I love it.
Yes.
I love the Erica character.
Yeah.
I don't care how realistic it was based on a person who Zuck on it references in, but they change the name and then they make up some of the interactions. But like I just love her character so much.
She's yeah.
She's the only person in the movie who's ever correct. It's like, oh, it's good.
Meanwhile, we meet Sean Parker, the founder of Napster, played by Justin Timberlake, which what are they saying there? Like Justin Timberlake in the movie's like, oh, fuck the music industry. It's broken. It's like, what are you saying, Justin?
Justin Timberlake is so confusing as an actor because you're like, sometimes he's good, but like, he's not a good actor, but he keeps getting me 80% of the way to thinking he might be a good actor.
He has an incredible agent.
He does.
Yeah, but then he also like was in Yogi Bear.
Right.
Really? He's also and the Trolls movies.
He's good in the Trolls.
One for him, one for the studios.
He's good, but right. he's like, I don't know. I liked him in Wish Upon a Star. That's a good DCOM.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, was he in Model Behavior?
He was in Model Behavior.
All right, I stand.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an okay actor. He's better than Joey Fatone.
Oh. Well, yeah.
That's low an bar. Endorsement.
then, so Sean Parker discovers Facebook and he's like, ooh, what's this cool thing? And then,
Then he says that line where he's like, all I need to do is find you, Mark Zuckerberg. You're like, oh.
And then Mark and Eduardo and Sean Parker have a meeting together. And at Sean's suggestion, Zuckerberg rents a house in Palo Alto for the summer. And he hires some interns. The whole thing keeps expanding. Eduardo is off in New York City trying to find advertisers. But things with Eduardo and Mark are getting more and more tense. And Eduardo freezes the account.
Yeah.
He's like, you could have jeopardized Facebook.
And then Eduardo's like, I know, I was just trying to get your attention. They're such babies. It's so funny.
Yeah.
They're just crying about Facebook all day.
Peter Thiel makes a big investment in Facebook.
Peter Thiel, who famously believes that drinking blood of young people will make you live longer.
Just one more scene that I want added to this movie.
Oh, I would love a little Peter Thiel offering Mark Zuckerberg a shot of his nephew's blood.
That should have been the role that Timberlake played.
Yeah. So there's now like money and office space associated with Facebook, and Facebook now has almost 1 million members, and Eduardo is called to the office so that they can inform him that his shares, which he originally owned 34% of, had been diluted down to 0.03%.
Wow, and all the tech people in the crowd are like, oh my God.
I've seen this movie upwards of 15 times, and today was the first time where I understood what happened there.
Oh.
Because I was like, what, diluted? And then they were, I saw the part where it's like, they add more investors. I was like, oh, because when you add more, the percentage goes, oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is kind of funny. Like, Eduardo is made out to be, I think, by far the most sympathetic character in the movie. But ultimately, Eduardo Saverio, and I have some fun information about what he has since done, which is fleed the country and evaded $700 million in taxes. But
cool.
But he, at the time, it's like he truly did, like, I mean, he lost 6 months of his life in $1,000. And we're like crying for him in this movie. He also now has 5% of Facebook and is like a bajillionaire. So he's fine.
He's doing fine.
He's fine. He lives in Singapore now and he likes it.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm so glad to hear that. But Eduardo in the movie is like, I'm suing your ass, Zuckerberg. Hence all the flash forwards where we see all of those hearings. And then the movie ends with Mark Zuckerberg requesting Erica Albright as a friend on his own website.
Well, just after Rashida Jones absolves him of any guilt associated with.
Yes.
She's like, you're not actually an asshole, Mark Zuckerberg. Bye. You're like, right. But what about the whole movie?
Mm-hmm. And then there's all the title cards that it's like, you know, Zuckerberg had to pay millions of dollars to the Winkies.
The Winkies never got their paddles back.
And I think that's
the movie.
That's the movie.
Yeah.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at HomeDepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
Where should we start with the discussion of this?
Do you have a context corner do you want to start with?
There's so much context for this movie that I think that probably people in the audience also have. So if there's anything that I say during the context that you have more info on, feel free to raise your hand. We'd love to hear if anyone has any dark secrets. This is the place where we're going to get them. So there's really not that much to say about the production of the movie other than like other actors considered and blah, blah, blah. But this is directed by David Fincher, written by Aaron Sorkin. And you're like, oh, two annoying male personalities that consistently turn out good work. This could go so many ways. Mm. It turns out well in this case. But most of the context for this just involves like what actually happened and what didn't. And in the most funny instances, how people portrayed in this movie ended up reacting. Mm. So Mark Zuckerberg, you're not gonna believe this, does not like this movie very much. He doesn't like it. Aaron Sorkin interviewed a lot of people for this movie, and a lot of people interviewed with him on the agreement of anonymity. So a lot of the stuff that people can't verify happening in the movie, it's very possible it did happen, okay. But he has to like Watergate it or whatever. He can't give away his sources. He's a real Woodward about it. Mm. I mean, a lot of stuff is true. Like the Winklevoss stuff is almost universally true. They actually did throw the Harvard rule book to try to, you know, take a billion-dollar company away from Mark Zuckerberg because they're stupid and it's funny. The Winklevosses now, today, they are, you know, they're ass crack deep in Bitcoin. They love Bitcoin so much. They have $1 billion in Bitcoin. Ugh. My favorite fact about the Winkies is, and they call them the Winklevies. I'm like, the Winkies. Yeah. Anyways.
I'm a fan of Winklevies.
The Winklevies. In 2014, the twins launched WinkDex. Which, oh no, we have some WinkDex investors over there. They're like, we don't talk about it. It was just like some metric that traced the current cost of Bitcoin, and the financial, the U.S. Financial Commission Department, whatever the fuck, found out about it, and they're like, ew, what is this? And they shut it down. So they're billionaires, but they shut down WinkDex. So
good.
They are the peak example of failing upwards repeatedly.
Yes, I mean it's like because they came from a ton of money, they fucked up a lot, they placed sixth in the Olympics.
Why even bother?
Why bother? They were so. I mean, everyone on stage here has placed much higher in the Olympics.
Second in shot put.
Eduardo, I mean, We've already referenced the main thing with Eduardo is that he is Brazilian born and is portrayed by a white actor, mm-hmm. Which we'll talk about in a bit. Eduardo, I mean, but we shouldn't be crying for Eduardo because he has, I'll just read the official source. He renounced his U.S. citizenship in September 2011 and therefore avoided an estimated $700 million in capital gains taxes. He has, he says that this is just because he really likes Singapore. And he denies he left the U.S. to avoid paying $700 million. He's just like, Singapore is dope, you guys. And so no one has been seeing much of him lately because he lives in Singapore. I also, every tech person, and I know it's like maybe normal for people here, but anytime you read, like, first of all, anytime you read a rich person's controversies section, it's so funny. because with Eduardo Saffron, it's like controversy with Jumio. And you're like, what? That's a company that existed. Controversy with Quickie. You're like... So he was involved with and then later had fallings out with both Quickie and Jumio.
Okay.
What else? Most of the characters in this movie are real. Mark Zuckerberg doesn't like the portrayal of him in this movie, which, I mean, I guess I get that. But some things that reasons you shouldn't feel bad for Mark Zuckerberg include... he's been selling your data to the government for a long time. He was helping spread war propaganda in a number of countries. He caused a genocide in Myanmar by doing so. He McFucked our election, which is why we're all here. You know, like there's no one should have, but uh-huh. He went to a Costco last month. So
he was just like us.
The stars are just like us.
Damn.
I really do genuinely believe that Mark Zuckerberg and a woman who was completely erased from this movie, his wife, Priscilla, I think that they went to a Costco and called the paparazzi on themselves so the paparazzi would see them looking at TVs at Costco and be like, oh, we forgive them. Like, what were they...
If I saw a photo of them at Costco, I'd be like, why is Mark Zuckerberg going to buy Costco?
Right. Like, it's something...
Like, I don't... There's no part of me that thinks that man goes out
like
into public to buy anything.
At Costco.
Yeah.
So Mark Zuckerberg has described the movie as, quote, kind of hurtful, unquote.
Aww. And the credits roll is like, aw.
And this doesn't reflect on our discussion, but as far as I know, it does seem like the movie takes a lot of liberties in terms of giving Mark Zuckerberg, first, a personality that's discernible at all. but also it seems like based on interviews and just more research done about him, there's a lot written by people who have interviewed him at length, that he is a very boring person who is not even socially adept enough to say most of the things that are said in the movie. Mm. So, which is like, imagine not being smart enough to say the worst Aaron Sorkin line ever.
I could buy the Phoenix Club. I could turn it into my
ping.
Mark Zuckerberg would be like, you have all of my attention. he's a boring man. My favorite anecdote that I've come across by someone who did work in the tech industry, whose identity I will obscure, is this is what it's like to work around Mark Zuckerberg when he's trying to talk to women. Okay, so. When Sheryl Sandberg started working at Facebook as the COO, and she's, of course, a feminist icon. Just kidding, Google her. she's the scariest person alive. But Mark loves her, and so he is taking her around the office to say, hey, this is your new boss. And he introduced her to, I guess, a group of female employees and said something akin to, hi, this is Sheryl Sandberg. She is your new boss. She is so smart. She is so cool. Look at her hair. It's so pretty. You should all try to have hair like Sheryl's. Bye. And that was the whole... So that's like what Mark Zuckerberg is actually like. And I, for one, am glad they didn't commit that to film. I prefer the toxic misogynist Mark Zuckerberg than look at her pretty hair.
It sounds like a bad like ad, like a tagline pitch for Barbie. Like on a guy's like first day, he's like, all right, she's smart, she's cool. You gotta have hair like her. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Well, hope you buy it. See ya. And some of the just like he did give out cards that said "I'm CEO, bitch."
That's a true story. Wow,
that is very true. Then yeah, most of the other context stuff I think will fit into our discussion. There, like this movie was at the time of its release, I think one of the first movies we've covered that was called out for its sexism when it came out. Mm-hmm. Because this movie came out in 2010, mm-hmm. so it was around the time that people were starting to realize women were around for the first, about 10 years ago,
yeah,
it became visible. And so there was a lot of criticism of this movie, of how it treated women at the time, to the point where it warranted a response from Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
You know, he really does his best to to justify this. So here's what he had to say at the time. Quote, "Facebook was born during a night of incredible misogyny. The idea of comparing women to farm animals and then to each other based on their looks and then publicly ranking them. It was a revenge stunt aimed first at the woman who'd mostly recently broke his heart and then at the entire female population of Harvard. More generally, I was writing about an angry and deeply misogynistic group of people. These aren't the cuddly nerds we made movies about in the 80s.
What?
You know, the ones that were date raping women. Continuing the quote. Sorry, he didn't say that. They're very angry that the cheerleader still wants to go out with the quarterback instead of the men, parentheses, boys, brave, who are running the universe right now. The women they surround themselves with aren't women who challenge them, parentheses, and frankly, no woman who could challenge them would be interested in being anywhere near them, close parentheses. He finishes... These women, whether it's the girls who are happy to take their clothes off and dance for the boys, or Eduardo's psycho girlfriend, are real. Mm. I mean, really real, unquote. Mm. So, feminist icon, Aaron Sorkin. Mm-hmm.
My 30-minute alarm just went off. It's a great time to say Aaron, yes. Pork ribs. Now, back to the quote.
If you're like, I loved it.
Yeah, I think that really sort of removes his responsibility in how bad this movie depicts women.
Right.
Especially like just doubling down on the psycho thing where it's like, what does it add to the story to make her the way that she is? Like, what does her portrayal add to this? What does having that one line where like the women are playing video games and like we know what that is. It's like, there's so many moments I'm like, right. What is this for?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Like, I think his first point, which is that men who were in early Silicon Valley were misogynist, yes, mm-hmm. right? But that doesn't mean that like that absolves him of responsibility to show any of those women outside of their like what he deems as their like narrative relevancy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that he had to write women only as obstacles in the story, like obstacles or vehicles for exposition that would then poof, just like disappear forever. Or poor Rashida Jones, who has to stomp and basically break the fourth wall at the end of the movie and be like, Mark Zuckerberg, not a bad guy. Like
her whole role in this movie is just going, so wait, and then just like saying what we just saw also.
She just recaps the scene we just saw, makes it seem like he might be fuckable, and then at the end is like, innocent. Please. And it's just, so yeah, Aaron Sorkin, like, I mean, whatever. We could talk about how Aaron Sorkin and David Fincher have depicted women all day long, but mm-hmm. we simply don't have time. They're both, you know, not feminist icons. They're, and on top of it, I mean, David Fincher's an asshole, but Aaron Sorkin is annoying. He's... He thinks he's so smart. He's mm-hmm. such a... He had to sit at his computer and write, you know what's better than $1 million? And then he was like, like he's about to come. He's like, a billion dead.
It took him a lot of takes, too. He was like, all right, $4 million, no. $10 million, no. Do that for a while.
Yeah. Ugh. God, I just, like, his writing is so obnoxious. But sometimes, in this movie, I feel like it works a lot of the time because he's supposed to, like, sometimes with Aaron Sorkin's writing, I feel like it's unclear of whether the character is supposed to sound like a pretentious asshole or if right. it's just something Aaron Sorkin wrote down. But well, in this movie, for the most part, it fits.
Well, that's the thing. I spent the first several years enjoying this movie and thinking like, oh, Mark Zuckerberg, what a cool, smart, punk, genius prophet.
Let's get to hacking.
Because, like, the writing is such that almost every scene of the movie ends with, like, this epic, like, mic drop, like, comeback, like, ooh, he sure showed them. And it makes you think, and like, the thesis statement of the movie is Rashida Jones's line being like, you're not an asshole, you're just trying so hard to be. And I think the movie wants audiences to think, like, oh, he's really actually
he's
cool
tortured
and nice. And now rewatching the movie for this episode, which I did four times, I rewatched it four times because I had to watch it so because there's so much dialogue, it was giving me whiplash.
The music is so loud. You're
like, Aaron Sorkin was like, there needs to be one word of dialogue for every dollar that Mike Zuckerberg has. And
Mike Zuckerberg, Caitlin.
What did I say? Oh,
we
no.
We couldn't let
he
it
He actually
slide.
Wrote the entire script as Mike Zuckerberg and then find and replace the very end.
That's how little I think of Mike. I know his name is Mark.
Screw Mike.
Don't. He's gonna buy Costco. Just to spite you both.
Has anyone here ever worked for Mike? Oh, we have some people who have worked for Mike. Oh.
What?
Oh.
I'll talk to you after.
I'm just like, that. I don't know how San Francisco works. I'm like, it's everybody.
Just like how we're all movie stars because we live in LA.
I mean.
Yeah. Anyway, so before I messed up the hilarious punchline of my joke, there's so much, the dialogue is very dense in the movie. So I had to watch it so many times to be like, what?
Did
oh
you
my
catch
God.
Every sexist phrase that was said?
I eventually did. Yes. After my fourth watch. But so now the point that I'm trying to arrive at is that like the whole, he's an asshole. Mark Zuckerberg is
sure
an insufferable.
An asshole.
Okay, and by that I mean him as a character, Mark Zuckerberg as a character, is an insufferable asshole, but the movie wants you to think that he's very cool.
Well, and we were talking about this earlier today of like how that is kind of a very slippery slope that you tread when you're writing a biopic like this, because I feel like, yeah, like my read on this movie has changed over time, mm-hmm. and that's more a reflection on like me and how the world has changed around me than it is on the movie itself, maybe. And right. like, yeah, when I watched it originally, I'm like, oh, Mark Zuckerberg is a, well, and also the marketing punk genius, like
right.
he's a punk genius. His profit, because that was how it was marketed. But then when you watch it, I think like all the elements of like he is an asshole are there. But there's other movies, like we were talking about Vice a little bit, kind of chose this line in a way as well, where you see it's a movie that makes fucking Dick Cheney look cool, and you're like, what was it? What is that important to do? Mm-hmm. Was there a pressing need for that? Where all the facts and indications that he is not a cool person to be admired are there, but the way that the movie is presented to you is saying something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, this is kind of like one of those weird, uncanny things.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at HomeDepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
Should we talk about women?
I get you. What if I was like, no?
I forgot.
Should we start with the Erica Albright?
Yeah, let's start with the best character in the movie. Yeah. Erica Albright, who's played by Rooney Mara, is, I think that the opening scene to this movie is truly like one of my favorite scenes ever. It's really good.
It's fantastic.
I mean, there's that line at the end of like, I want you to know that you'll think that women don't want to be with you because you're a nerd, and it's not, it's because you're an asshole.
Right.
And wouldn't that line have been so much more effective if the last line in the movie wasn't, you're not an asshole? But oh well, you know, we'll try it again. But I like her character a lot. I think something that was stood out to me when I was just researching how this movie was received in 2010 was there were a lot of people who were criticizing the movie for its treatment of women, rightfully so, referring to this character as a feminist killjoy, which we love. But I think watching the movie, like, I like her portrayal. I think she's very hard on him from the very beginning. You know exactly why. He's negging her. He's talking down to her. He's treating her like shit. And she breaks up with him right away because why wouldn't you?
Right.
And when he comes back talking to her about his .com, she's like, good luck with your video game.
Yeah.
Like, she's great. I love her. That's what I
like
I have
to think. I like to think that she never responds to his friend request at the end.
No way.
That's like the best possible postscript, that she just deletes it and is like, I don't care at all.
Yeah.
Right. If she was just like, actually, I'm more of, I'm with Tom from MySpace. She showed him.
Yeah.
I do feel like that last scene, the whole thing about Rashida Jones's line that undercuts it is like, when you say you're not an asshole, you're just trying to be, it's like, what's the difference? If you're trying to be a person that's
doesn't
kind of who you...
Doesn't that make you an asshole?
Right. And it sort of sets up Mark Zuckerberg to be this, like, just sad, pathetic nerd who really just wants to be loved. And it's like, yeah, but the path to him being loved for some reason is, like, I have to blaze a trail of bodies in my path of people who, like, didn't bow at my feet. And that means, like, talking shit about women and, like, fucking over my friends and whatnot. It's like, no, you're an asshole.
Right.
Erica's 100% right. It's weird that they let that be the end of the movie.
Tom from MySpace is a lucky man, I think. I mean, unfortunately, there's not even that much we can say about Rashida Jones's character, who's named Marilyn, I guess. I think that Aaron Sorkin is kind of trying to do... Aaron Sorkin at least feels tangentially aware that he is not good at writing female characters to the point where he feels like he needs to justify it by being like, actually I'm really good at it. Like he did in that quote. So what my read of what he's doing with Marilyn's character is Marilyn is a lawyer. Mm-hmm. She's in the room at all of these, is it a deposition?
It's a hearing.
A deposition.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Fireside chat is what they call it.
She's at the Zuck chats. the Winkies are there, and Wardo's there, and everyone's having a good time. But she's there, and we are told several times she's very good at her job. She knows what she's doing. And I feel like Aaron Sorkin kind of does that to offset, like, oh, maybe if I say she's good at her job, even though I never have to show it, it'll be fine, and no one will notice that she's just recapping scenes and then absolving the protagonist of any guilt.
Right.
We see you. Yeah. We see you.
She's not given much to say, but what she does usually say is something where she's just so impressed by our friend Mike Zuckerberg.
she's like, oh my God.
Your site got 2,200? And then she's written in such a way where, like, she can't even get like one fact right. And he's like, no, 22,000. And she's like, oh, wow.
And then at the end, he asks her out, and then she doesn't even say, she's like, I can't. Like, but it's like she wants to. They were just laying out crimes on crimes on crimes on crimes on crimes that this man had done all day long. He's being a dick. He's being horrible. He's extorted like millions and billions of dollars. And he's like, do you want to get food? She's like, maybe. Like, what?
He's a bad boy.
He's a bad boy.
I know. Oh. I feel so bad for Rashida Jones. Can we go back to Erica
for a second? Yeah.
So, okay, she is a great character, but like the story only affords her like, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes of screen time. Like,
right.
We hardly get to see her.
And she's, I think, along with Christy, the female character we see the most, and it's like 7 minutes.
It's hardly anything.
Yeah.
And the movie frames the whole reason like Mark creates and expands Facebook is to like teach her a lesson for not being with him almost.
Which kind of brings us into, so the fact that Priscilla, Mark's future wife, is... If the story were historically accurate, Priscilla would be present in the story at some point because she's known Mark since about 2003. They become involved in 2005. So at the point that the hearings are being shown, they would have been in a relationship for years.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't be Facebook friend requesting Erica Albright that we know of.
Right.
The one thing I'll say about Mark Zuckerberg is I don't think that he's a cheater. I don't think anyone wants him. So I think he's loyal. I think he's loyal to his wife. So that was slander.
Okay.
Priscilla has also called the movie hurtful.
Sure.
Because she's not in it.
She's written out of it entirely. And I think that, like, I get the narrative reason for doing that, but that's only because, like what you were saying, that Aaron Sorkin kind of uses Erica Albright as this, like, narrative engine to fuel Mark's need for revenge.
Right, because when he sees her at that bar and she rightfully refuses to, like, go somewhere and talk to him because she's like, you fucking called me a bitch on the internet. You, like, body-shamed me.
Compared women to farm animals.
Compared women to farm animals. And he's like, I didn't end up actually doing that. And it's like, shut up. You
did not
to.
Apologize.
And she's like, no, screw you. Like, I'm here with my friends. And then he like runs away and he's like, we have to expand Facebook. We have to add to every school in the world.
Right.
And like, she's like poised as just like this tool within the narrative to just like motivate him further.
Right. Like, yeah, we never find out really anything about her other than she goes to BU and she's the best character.
Yeah.
Those are the things we know.
Some other women in the movie who...
Dakota Johnson's in this movie? That was a pleasant surprise.
I know, right?
I don't think I knew who Dakota Johnson was the last time I saw this movie.
Me either. Yeah.
Brave of us to not know who she is.
We hadn't seen 50 Shades of Grey yet.
We hadn't.
But there are some other women in this movie who challenge Mark Zuckerberg for his sexist behavior. Because make no mistake, that is mostly what he is doing in this movie, is being sexist. But these women appear so infrequently and are given so little narrative significance that they... like you forget that they're even there most of the time.
Right.
But there's like Rooney Mara is the main person who does this. And then like when you see the montage of men raiding women on FaceMash, there's a shot of a girl who comes in. She's like, that's my roommate. And I think she's supposed to be like disgusted, but unclear. But then there's another
shot. She's just stating a fact. She's proud. Yeah, she's proud.
I recognize her.
Wow, that's my roommate.
But then we cut to another shot of a few women looking at facemash.com with like disgusted looks on their face. And then one of them says, oh, this is pathetic. And then there's that female student in his class who like passes him a note that says, you dick.
And then Jesse Eisenberg gives this really dramatic pout.
Yeah.
He's like, me dick? Oh no. And then he starts to leave the class, and then he answers a question right, and we're like, oh, he's great, you know?
Right, exactly, because every scene ends with like him being like, I'm the smartest person ever,
right?
And then there's like mention of like women's groups like going after him and being like, Face Mash was mean, but they're always like just framed as being like pesky obstacles, and we don't even like see it unfold on screen.
Right. Well, that's the main, I think, issue with how women are written. They're only written as obstacles.
Obstacles or set dressing. Yes.
Yeah. So it's like the movie tells you, oh, what he's doing to women with face mash is really bad. But the cinematography tells you, here's a lot of sexy women and let's film them at parties and they're wet. Like,
right.
The like written stuff versus what David Fincher brings to the table is
well, because there's that famous like juxtaposed montage, right? I went to film school.
Oh.
And it's like the nerd boys coding, doing their coding on the computer to do face mash.
Not a nose breather in the room.
And that's juxtaposed against the cool Harvard boys in their final club inviting a bus full of women into their party. And then we see shots of them like taking their clothes off, making out with each other, like just acting as like sexualized set dressing, basically. And I'm like, I keep trying to figure out what the intention of this montage is.
Oh, I have an idea.
Well, the best I could come up with is just that like, look, men, whether they're like popular and cool or like nerds, neither group likes women. But
which is true.
Which is true.
To be fair.
But then there's like kind of no comment on that by the movie. There's like, right. There's, it's just like, and now you get to see women kissing each other for men's pleasure. And then there's no commentary.
Yeah, there's, well, should we talk about Christy?
Yes.
Yes. So Brenda Song is in this movie and I love Brenda Song. We're like, yes, Wendy Wu, there she is. Is anyone here Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Homecoming Warrior Hive.
Wait,
everyone's come out.
Is this a DCOM thing?
Yes.
Of course.
I don't know anything about it.
London Tipton's in the movie. I'm watching it. Right. So Brenda Song is amazing and she is I think very much done dirty in this movie.
Oh yeah.
So she plays a character named, it's Chrissy?
Christy.
Christy?
Yes.
Christy, who has a friend named Alice who, well, we don't know.
She gives Mark Zuckerberg a blowjob in the bathroom. And
Harvard
that's all
head.
We know about her.
She gives Mark Zuckerberg that sweet Harvard head that we've heard about.
Which, what? That. These four people go into two bathroom stalls right next to each other.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be like, damn, they got it all. I would be like, you can both hear your best friend in the world getting their dick sucked right now. How is this great for you? You guys are in a all right.
It's framed as if, and they act as if it's the best thing that's ever happened.
We got groupies.
Oh, yeah.
And which is strictly how they're framed, mm-hmm, throughout the movie. Alice disappears pretty quickly,
yes,
from the narrative, but Christy remains. We first meet Christy when Mark Zuckerberg is saying something racist about her that she's out of earshot for. towards Eduardo. Mm. They all later hook up. Christy is in a relationship with Eduardo. And then, I mean, she doesn't have a lot of narrative impact. She's around. I think the most impact she has in the longest scene she's in, which is when Sean meets up with Eduardo and says, drop the, it's cleaner. Like, that's that scene.
Yeah. She just spends the entire scene being like, Eduardo, calm down.
Right. Yeah. Like,
give me another apple teeny.
That is her contribution. She gets apple teenies. Because Sean, that's the only, also the only, I'm like, I wonder if Aaron Sorkin was even trying to be sexist or if that was just happened to be how sexist he is. But the only time someone directly addresses her in that scene is when the waiter comes by and is like, what would you like? And Sean turns to, we were like, oh yeah, Brenda Song is in this scene. And Justin Timberlake's like, you choose. And she's like, apple teenies. And that's all she says.
The script probably is like, Sean turns to her, giving her agency. And he's just like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah. He's just like, yeah, he's like, another day's work. Yeah, and then he puts his male feminist t-shirt back on and goes to bed.
Tomorrow begins production on Molly's Game.
My female protagonist movie. He's a weird man. But yeah, so Christy is sidelined for most of the part she's in. And then very suddenly, Eduardo goes to Palo Alto and then comes back. And all of a sudden, Christy has just, she's gone off the rails. Mm-hmm. And she is all of a sudden, we have no information to believe that she is a jealous girlfriend prior right. to this. She's very chill. She's ordering apple teenies. She's around.
No.
All of a sudden, she shows up at Andrew Garfield's dorm and is like, I sent you 47 texts. And like, she just is made to seem so irrational so quickly. There is nothing that I saw to indicate that she was like that.
Capable of that, yeah.
At all. She lights his shit on fire. Mm-hmm. And then 2 seconds later is like, are you leaving? Like, they just make her seem so irrational out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it's just because she's being written as an obstacle to him very suddenly. That's right. Her importance in that scene. She's in the way of Eduardo being with Facebook.
Right. Can I give an honest to God, like, what I truly believe happened here?
Yeah.
I think that they shot the movie or, like, wrote it all, had it done, got to the end, and someone was like, what happened to Christy? And they were like, ah. So, and they went back. They went back and were like, we gotta write her out somehow. And they were like, make her crazy. And he's like, duh, I don't want anything to do with it. Because it's like all in one scene that this turn happens.
So
and she's,
fast.
The scene could be excised from the movie and it would just be like, oh, right, I guess Brenda Song died.
Right, right. But they do, I feel like they do worse than just make her disappear. They like make her every like negative girlfriend trope that exists. Then yeah. She lights shit on fire and we see her, and then, so we have to understand when he dumps her and then she's gone from the movie. And they're like, ah, oh, perfect. That I like that. That makes sense.
I also love her line, have you ever seen me wear a scarf? That was their version of like, well, she's got to hate this scarf for some reason. She's never had a scarf. There we go.
She doesn't know what a scarf is. Like, they're...
What's this?
She was visually, what the fuck is this?
What is this, a sock that doesn't go on my foot?
He's like, no, babe, it's a scarf. She's like, are you fucking me with me right now? I don't know what this is. I'm letting it on fire. It was so ridiculous. And just like a character that has been like insulted in the first line of dialogue, ignored for an hour.
Yeah.
And then and then immediately like gotten rid of by being like, oh, she's like, yeah, the crazy trope.
It's so inconsistent the way she's characterized. And then there's that scene where Mark has decided to expand and
we're going to expand.
He's delegating to Timmy from Jurassic Park. He's like, you're marketing or something. You're this.
Did
and
you know Timmy, not the actor, but the Dustin, whatever.
Yeah.
He has $12 billion. Isn't that upsetting?
Yes.
He should be illegal. Bernie 2020, we're making Dustin illegal.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
I want everybody involved in Facebook to go to jail.
That's pretty good.
Except for the Winkle bosses, they can stay. They're in my cabinet.
But
we are switching the American economy to Wink coin.
Yeah.
Andrew Yang's like, everyone gets one wink coin a month.
I feel like Andrew Yang and the Winklevosses know each other. It just seems like they absolutely. Know each other. For sure they text. I don't know.
Anyway, so there's that scene where Mark is delegating tasks to his roommates who are now all billionaires. And then Christy and Alice are like, can we do anything to help? And Mark is just like, no, moving on. Dustin, you're head of marketing. Like,
yeah. And then Sean Parker's treatment of female characters is kind of the same. There's very strong suggestions by the movie that I'm like, I wonder if Aaron Sorkin had research that indicated this, because it comes up a lot of times, but I couldn't find anything on it that Sean Parker is around underage women a lot, mm-hmm. and like plying them with alcohol the entire time. Anytime Sean Parker's around a woman, someone walks in the room and is like, how old is that woman?
It is like, oh, such no. a strong allegation. Like, there's gotta be something to this, or else Aaron Sorkin would have been like sued. Yeah.
Right. There was like, I looked so hard to see like, is there bait? But so I just have to imagine it was one of his interviews, or he's mean. And like, that was just... But I mean, that like drug raid on the Palo Alto house, that was true. And like, but there was nothing indicated about the age of people there. So Sorkin knows something we don't. I don't know. Join his Patreon. I don't know.
Sorkin got screwed out by Napster somehow. And he's like, I'll show you.
Yeah. He was an independent music.
I also love that in his very first scene, they sort of set him up as like, well, he's a good guy because he knows everything about this college girl.
Yes. Right. I was confused about how that scene was supposed to come off. The scene we're referencing is the Dakota Johnson scene, where it's we first meet Sean Parker. He's dressed in crisp white linen, waking up after a one-night stand, as if that's ever happened. Like, imagine someone looking nice. I'm like, I would prefer they were out of my house. But he wakes up, he's at a college student's house, he is not a college student, that's what we know. And then there's immediately that you know, thing that goes through where he checks to, you know, Dakota Johnson says, oh, you're not 15 or something, and he's like, no, are you? Because it's just, that is how the movie treats him.
Right.
I wish the next moment was just like, ooh, fool me once.
Right. But then as she's like, I bet you don't remember anything about me, and then he remembers too much everything about her, and he's like, I remember you, your name is blah blah blah, you go to blah blah blah, your social security number is 0 like, he knows so much. And I think this is supposed to come off as, oh, he's a nice guy, but to me I'm like, if someone knew and even if I told them that much and then I slept with them and they woke up at my house and they're like, your name is Jamie Bethany Loftus, I would be like, oh my god, leave my apartment.
It feels like you're in like Minority Report. You just wake up and like, here's your identity. But it also feels like he woke up in the middle of the night and memorized these facts, because he's like, this happens all the time, I'm not gonna. And that's when you put on that clean shirt.
I think.
Yeah.
This scene is there to remind you that Justin Timberlake is actually not a good actor, because that's the scene where he does the crisp white linen and then he's like, yeah, this is your name, this is where you come from, and she's like, okay, I'm gonna take a shower. And then he opens her laptop, which is open to the facebook.com, and he goes, oh. We're like, oh my god, he's got like a boner. He's,
yeah, he's
addicted.
Like, ooh,
and then he's
this?
Like, well, what is this? And she's like, it's Facebook, everyone loves it. And then he's like, I gotta find you, Mark. This is my favorite. It's like an evil, villain line. He's like, well, I have to find you, Mark Zuckerberg. And you're like, oh right, he's a terrible actor. He's the worst actor of all time. I like when he flinches, though. That part is fun.
Oh, when Andrew Garfield's about to punch him.
I don't remember like the context of how we all looked at the internet in like 2008 or whatever. But if you opened someone's computer and saw a website you didn't recognize, you wouldn't be like, "Wait a minute, what is what's all this?" Like he's immediately just like, "Something's here." Like,
I want 500 versions of this scene where he opens it and it's like AskJeeves.com. Hey, wait.
I want a find and replace version of this movie where it's just like, it's the entire thing is just like GeoCities. Every line is dubs. Like, if you were inventor of GeoCities, you would have invented GeoCities.
Well, I want the line from him where he's like, and now all I have to do is find you, Jeeves.
There's something... similar happens to what you're talking about, Demi, earlier in the movie, where apparently everyone on Earth reads Mark Zuckerberg's live journal because there's a student at BU who like comes into Erica Albright's dorm room with a bra
lines.
And he uses a transphobic slur. Mm-hmm. But and he would have only known anything about that if he had read Mark Zuckerberg's blog.
It's like
no,
everyone's logged into Zuck on it. They're home. Yeah.
This was back when there were only like 5 web pages. Zuck on it was 2 of them. So what can you do?
That was another one of my favorite badly written, like, oh yeah, Aaron Sorkin didn't grow up with the internet lines where like Erica's roommate walks into the room and is like, Erica, he's blogging about you. And you're like, no one has ever said that. Thank you, nameless female character.
Right.
So to conclude what I think we were originally talking about, Christy is not treated well in the movie.
No. I mean, the way Asian women especially are
yes.
talked about and then depicted in the movie is really not good, very disrespectful.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, this is another thing that it's like, Aaron Sorkin had the source material to not do this. Like, Mark Zuckerberg, for all of his war crimes, did have female friends in college. Mm-hmm. And female friends that like he hung out with and knew the names of and didn't yell at.
His mommy.
His mommy.
His mommy.
And where was Mrs. Z? The Mrs. Z visibility was at an all-time low in this. But what were we talking? Oh no!
About the whole Asian women thing.
Yes.
I feel it feels like a curious choice, given that like Zuckerberg's wife is an Asian woman.
Yeah.
Yes,
like,
and that he was dating her while this movie was supposed to have been happening.
And there's that like that line like when they go to the AE Pi party and they talk about how Jewish men and Asian women like are like meant to be together. And I was just like, this feels pointed and unnecessary.
Yeah,
it's like I'm like, what are the filmmakers trying to accomplish with that? Very, very weird. Yeah, and then there's also, I mean, what we were talking about a little bit earlier, and we've referenced, is there's a few characters in this movie who were people of color, who were played by white actors.
Right,
which you're just like, okay, David Fincher, we get it.
Oh, whoopsies.
Yes.
David Fincher went, well, if Idris Elba's busy, then I guess we'll just...
Right, you're like, Jesus Christ.
This movie was produced by Kevin Spacey.
Yay!
Oh,
real
was,
fun to see his name in opening credits.
And there was my boyfriend Isaac Brave.
wow.
Pointing out, nay, I would say explaining to us... The fact that, no, he's great. He'll be selling merch after the show. But he was telling us when we were rewatching the movie last night that there are multiple producers of this movie who have been on the Lolita Express. We're Ooh. Talking, obviously, Kevin Spacey's been on the Lolita Express. I believe David Fincher was on that list of names. Scott Rudin is also on that list of names. So we have 3 major players involved in The Social Network that have been on Jeffrey Epstein's plane. So just a reminder that we live in hell. Thank you.
Do you think that they were on that plane only because they were looking for Sean Parker?
We're doing research. Like, you're just like, Aaron Sorkin, not invited on the plane.
Mm.
So, feminist.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Does anyone have any other final thoughts?
No.
I feel like we've like barely scratched the surface, and yet we're running out of time.
Yeah, we've been here for an hour and a half. I have a quote from Mark Zuckerberg that I wanted to share about what he was basically asked, well, if what Aaron Sorkin wrote wasn't what happened during the making of Facebook, what was happening? And I'll do my best Mark Zuckerberg here.
Okay.
But I think it's such a big disconnect from the way people who make movies think about what we do in Silicon Valley. We're building stuff. They just can't wrap their head around the idea that someone might build something just because they like building things.
So that's what Mark Zuckerberg said is actually happening. They were building things. That's all that was happening. Ignore the bloodshed.
I think we have a few moments for some audience questions and comments and contributions. Does anyone? And if you have something, we have another mic. So if you want to come up and do we have any? So come on down.
Come on down. Oh, yeah. Well, what's your name?
I'm Lee. Hey. So I actually came out. I didn't watch the movie. I just love you guys. And I'm not clear if we covered or not. Is or is not the movie about a network that was bitten by a radioactive social?
Oh,
valid question.
Yes or no?
Thank you so much. So this is for people who follow me on Twitter and who are familiar with the very stupid joke I refuse to stop doing.
I love it.
The movie is not about a network bitten by a radioactive social, and that's why it's bad. Thank you so much.
None of the reasons we described.
I might argue that it is if the network is just the internet as a whole and the radioactive social is the final clubs.
Okay, that's an interesting proposition, but you're wrong.
That's fair.
This leaves it in a gray area for me still. I'd like a concrete answer.
Oh, I don't have anything.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Does anyone else?
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Jamie.
Hi.
Hi, Jamie.
I also went to college in Boston.
Yes, I know, we know each other.
Of course we know. So we know that Mark Zuckerberg isn't exactly human. So I have to ask on the range, wet scabs or dry scab?
Ooh. Does Mark, okay, the question being, for those of you who aren't familiar with the age-old question, does Beetlejuice come wet scabs or dry scabs? Jamie seeks to extend this question further. Does Mark Zuckerberg come?
Mark Zuckerberg's a Halloween character, I think.
I think he's Halloween canon.
And he comes lines of code.
Do you think he comes lines of code? You think he comes content? I'm still gonna go dry for this one. And just a reminder, the sound of coming dry scabs kind of sounds like a deck of cards being shuffled. Whereas coming wet scabs sounds like a laser jet printer printing full color pages.
Every time Mark Zuckerberg comes, it's the beginning of The Matrix. That's my theory.
I've never seen that
movie. It starts with a bunch of lines of code coming down the window.
Oh, that's just Mark Zuckerberg's cum at the beginning of that movie?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what he was referring to with that line, like, if you knew what you were looking for, you would have seen it on my window.
Just his lines of... I'm all for Team Code Cum. Code Cum.
Any other... Come on down.
That was the best question ever.
I think CodeCom is one of the companies that's in the controversy section for this week.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, I'm Adriana.
Hi.
So I just kind of want to get your take. How do you think that Sorkin would have handled all the Myanmar and like U.S. Senate stuff?
How would he have handled it?
Yes.
Well, there's a sequel coming out. No, I don't know.
the social toot word.
An extremely social network movie.
Yes, that's it. There it is. How would I don't know. I mean, I don't trust Aaron Sorkin to handle anything responsibly or well, really. I think he would have probably taken about what happened and then made it sound 500 times more annoying than what actually happened. I think he's like, what if the people in Myanmar were really quippy? And you're like, that's not the point of the story, sir. I think he would have just been really obnoxious about it. He would have done a lot of research and then somehow still done a major disservice to everybody involved.
Yeah.
I think it would have just been like that scene in the newsroom where Gabby Giffords gets shot and then everyone's running around and like Coldplay's Fix You plays. If you haven't seen that scene, please go and watch that.
God,
it is the quintessential, wow, we really let Aaron Sorkin do this multiple times scene.
Right. It sucks, because when it works really well, and when it's horrible, you clench so hard your holes seal. Like, it's, like, wild. All right, we have time for one more person?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
two more people. Two more.
Both of you ask at the same time.
Two more.
All right, so I did notice that Christy did actually have a prompt for why she went crazy.
Oh.
And it was that he didn't change his relationship status on his Facebook.
Right.
And his excuse was that he didn't know how.
Right.
Though he wrote the original code.
He wrote the algorithm.
The whole thing.
So he was lying in that scene.
Yeah.
He was lying. Thank you for that. Yes. Thank you. Yes. He is an asshole. Thank you.
And then you come on up.
God damn it.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Ashley. I really loved what you guys said about Justin Timberlake, but as someone who has watched his Man in the Woods trailer several dozen times and made fun of it and has it probably memorized, I was hoping, because I know you guys are almost out of time, but if you had any more material on Justin Timberlake, I would just really like to hear it.
first of all, Justin Timberlake is, I think, a good-ish musician. I think that Future Sex Love Sounds is still one of my favorite albums
ever. It's a
ever.
Great album.
Mm-hmm. I will sometimes turn it on during a date. Which I wouldn't recommend. I've also turned on The Jinx during a date. So, the most talented of, like, he maybe one of the few boy band people who is marketed as the most talented and was the most talented, because they were always trying to be like, Nick Carter's such a good singer. And you're like, but I can hear him. Like, you know, like, stop gaslighting me. He's not good. Clearly, Brian's the star.
Right?
So, Brian was the star.
Yes.
Brian,
thank you.
A
round of applause for
Brian Littrell
from Backstreet Boys.
Everyone was just being mean to Brian because he had a heart condition. That was literally. You know what's really embarrassing? I went to see the Backstreet Boys the night before 9/11.
Right.
And no coincidence. Anyways, I went to see the. That was my first time seeing the Backstreet Boys, and I loved Brian so much. And I was 8, and I brought a sign that said, "I heart you," and the heart was damaged because he had a heart condition. I said, "I." It was like, I broke and, like, fucked up heart you, Brian.
Oh, my God. So you did that on purpose.
I did. I thought I was being empathetic to his heart condition.
Oh, my God.
That's what I have to say about Justin Timberlake.
Also, I love you guys, and I'm sorry to compliment a man during the Bechdel cast, but Demi, Daddy Kiss is one of my favorite songs.
Thank you. Some of you have no context for that phrase. And I'll keep it that way.
Yeah, don't take up too much space.
Yeah, steal it. Steal it off of Napster.
No, please.
Also, lastly, apparently Sean Parker did not found Napster. He at best co-founded it, but generally he was just a high-ranking employee who took all the credit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
Well, the show's over. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't pass the Bechdel test also.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't pass. So women are barely in the same room together in the movie. But I feel like, at the very least, the attorney that represents Eduardo and Rashida Jones could have said, give him two lines.
Want to go to Chipotle? No. Done.
They could have also just stopped that montage and had the women that are kissing just be like, I really like kissing you, Christy. Yeah, you too, Margot. And then get right back at it.
Yeah. We've been like feminist text. Done. Uh-huh.
But no, it does not pass the Bechdel test.
It does not.
What would we rate this on our nipple scale? 0 to 5 nipples based on its representation of women. I'm going to give it like a half nipple, and it's all for Erica Albright, who is not a real person, and most of the other characters in the movie
are.
Well,
she is a real person.
She's based on a real person, but we should have seen her. This story should have been told from her point of view.
She should have been like Delilah from Hey There, Delilah, and been like, it's me. Like, she should, but whatever. Anyways. Yeah, I'll also go a half nipple. I'm giving mine to Christy because Wendy Wu deserved better.
I feel like I can't go higher, so I'm also going to go a half nipple. And I'm going to give mine to Sharon, who, for those of you who've seen the movie, oh, exactly, right?
Who's Sharon?
She's the woman who can't catch a beer bottle.
Oh, right.
Mark Zuckerberg hurls two beers at her, and they both shatter.
I wish that scene went on forever. I think it's great. Especially because you know David Fincher does like 100 takes of everything. So they could have just been like, all right, new take. All right, just put all of them in the editing timeline back after.
I also
love that her entire introduction is, this is my Sharon. And then they're just like, you don't have anything more to really do here.
Oh, the thing about Sharon is she can't catch a beer bottle. Where is the franchise?
The script for that said, Sharon can't catch a beer bottle. Right, fellas?
Well, Demi, thank you so much for being here.
Yes,
give it up for our guest, Demi Adejuyibe.
And elite third time guest.
Yes, you've joined a final club.
Yes, yeah. A final club, if you will.
Hell yeah.
So now you don't need to invent something that will ruin us all.
But my best friend might.
Where can people follow you online?
I'm at Electrolemon on everything. And watch I, Tonya. I believe it's on Hulu.
Yeah! Oh,
and Paddington, while you're at it. Watch Paddington. Thank you so much for coming to the show, and we'll see you next year, maybe?
Thank you.
All right, gang, that's our live show on the social network.
Ding. We have so many people to thank. First of all, to our wonderful guest, Demi Adejuyibe, as well as everyone who came for Crying Out Loud. That was such a fun show.
So fun. Thanks for coming. Thanks for anyone who bought merch. That really helps us out. Thanks to everyone who asked a question or made a comment.
Thank you to, I don't remember their name off the top of my head, but the person who made us the laser cut Paddingtons. That was a thrill. I carry it with me like a totem from Inception.
Oh my gosh. I love my Paddington
me
so
too.
Much. Yes, whoever you are, please tweet at us or like post on Instagram.
They did at the time. I was just, I wish I could remember.
We're horrible. We're bad, but
we're canceled.
We're canceled, but please let us know who you are and we will give you the due credit.
It was really
and thank you so
incredible.
Much for that nice, nice, nice gift.
Yes. Thank you to the Gateway Theater. Thank you to Isaac Taylor. Mm-hmm. So thanks.
And SF Sketchfest for having us again.
Everyone was so lovely, and we packed out the damn place. It was such a blast.
Yes.
So you can find us at all the normal places. You can find us at Bechdelcast.com. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, at Bechdelcast. We don't really check the Facebook, even though it's the social network.
You know, whoopsies. Yeah, we didn't even talk about how we are basically absent on Facebook.
It's a website for, if you're a boomer and you're listening, it's your website. It's your website now. Enjoy it.
Yes.
We're not really on it, but we have a page on it. Anyways.
Yes. Yes, but it is helpful to check our social networks.
Ooh.
Because we have live shows coming up. So, you know.
Give us 5 stars on iTunes while you're at it. We always forget to ask for that.
Yes.
And then you can join our Patreon, a.k.a. Matreon, at patreon.com/Bechdelcast. $5 a month gives you 2 bonus episodes.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow, what a bargain.
But
and then also our merch can be found at teepublic.com/TheBechdelcast. We've got shirts. We've got mugs. We've got all the items you could possibly want.
We've got kisses. We've got hugs. With consent, of course.
Oh, yeah?
Thank you for listening. Thanks to everyone who was there. And, I think it goes without saying.
Let the hacking end.
Bye.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening.
To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.